Gemara, we've been working very much away from the Mishnah over the last few months, and this is the first time in a while that the Gemara actually begins with a quote from the Mishnah. So just to jog our memories, if you want to turn back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph, probably wouldn't hurt. But of course, we are returning to some of the details of when a zimun is an option or obligatory, when three people are eating together, shlosha shachlu ka'achas, chayav and lazamin. The first words of the Mishnah just tell us in general that if you have three people eating together, they will form a zimun at the conclusion of the meal for the benching. However, the Mishnah goes on to outline possible exceptions, and when those exceptions do not impact the chiyuv of the zimun. The next line of the Mishnah is achal demai u'maiser rishon shenitl chumaso, maiser sheni v'hekdesh sheniftu v'shamish achal kezayis v'kusi mizamin olav. Four cases, which we will explain in a moment, where even though one might have thought that the Zimun would not apply, nevertheless, the Zimun is still recited. Okay, let's start with number one, Achal Demai. Okay, what in the world is Demai? If the people participated in a meal where they're eating from Demai, the Mishnah says a Zimun can still be recited. Now, just for the background, the Mishnah ends by telling us that if they were sitting around the table eating Tevel, they would not be able to have a Zimun. What is Tevel? Tevel is any food where none of the appropriate trumas and maisers that are normally supposed to be removed have been taken from the food. So essentially, they are eating treif. Okay, it's a different form of treif. It's not a pig. It's not a non-kosher animal. It is produce that has not been properly, we'll say, processed al pi halacha, and therefore you may not eat from it. Okay, so that gives us the impression from the Mishnah that anything that's usher to eat, you cannot have a zimun around that table, okay? Remember, we saw one application of this in the Tosfos, where it's somewhere in between, is what if some of the people are eating milchiks, some of the people are eating fleishiks, can they come together to form a zimun when, in theory, I can't eat from the food that you're eating, or vice versa? Okay, we're going to focus on demai. So what exactly is demai? So in order to understand demai, we have to go one step back before that and just list off what exactly are the requisite tithes that need to be taken before anything is able to be eaten by regular people. Regular people, or when I say regular people, I mean the people without elevated status of a Kohen or a Levi. That starts with Bikurim. We're not going to talk about Bikurim right now because Bikurim is much more limited in scope. It's obviously only relevant at the beginning of the crop. When you have the first fruits, you bring them to Yerushalayim. But let's say we're after that point. We're in the middle of the season and the harvest takes place and you have items, just to keep it simple, of the Shivas Aminim, okay? We're going to be talking about bread because that's the easiest example. Bread is obviously from the Shivas Aminim. Chita, Saora are the leadoff hitters in the seven species, wheat and barley, and you must separate from them the necessary tithes. So what are they? So we're going to go in order. The first one is Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is called Gedola, not because it is quantitatively very large, but maybe because it's the most important and it's the first one, and that's what goes to the Kohen. Truma Gedola is the first separation from the food that goes to the Kohen. How much is it? The Torah tells us actually nothing. More than a morsel is necessary, but the Chachamim gave us guidelines so that we should know what's the right way to deal with Truma. 1/50th is the average, 1/40th if you are very generous, 1/60th if you are stingy. Okay? But in theory, if I took just one morsel off and gave it to the Kohen, you know, he might be upset at me, but I'd be yotzei my mitzvah of truma, okay? And whatever's remaining is okay to move forward with. So our first gift is truma gedola to the Kohen. Second one is maiser rishon, which is given to the Levi, okay? Maiser rishon is 1/10, okay? However, we have to pause in between over there because the Levi now has his maiser rishon. He needs to separate from his maiser rishon trumas maiser, okay? The truma that comes off of the maiser. Everyone has to pay homage to the Kohen. The Yisrael does it initially. The Levi does it with the second step, which is the Maaser Rishon that he receives from the Yisrael. However, there is a very important distinction between Truma that's given to the Kohen and Maaser that's given to the Levi. Anyone know what it is? Most important difference. Maaser Rishon can be eaten by a Zar, by a regular Jew. Truma can definitely not be given to Yisrael. It has to go entirely to the Kohen. A Maaser Rishon, even though it's given to the Levi, if the Levi wants to invite you over for lunch and share his food, you're able to partake. We'll get back to that in a minute. We'll see how important that is. So we have Truma Gedola. We have Maaser Rishon. side note we have that the Levi gives a little bit back to the Kohen from that as well. Okay, everyone with me so far? The third thing in line, and for our purposes, this is the last thing in line, is a second Meiser, which is not, it's easy if I call it Meiser Sheni, but it's not always Meiser Sheni. Okay, what do I mean by that? It depends on where you're holding in the Shemitah cycle, seven-year cycle. Okay, Shemitah itself, the seventh year, there's no Truma Meiser separated whatsoever because the produce in the seventh year is open for anyone to take. Okay, everyone, I'm sorry, I don't have a blackboard here. Okay, but that seven-year cycle is broken down as follows. Again, Shemitah is off the hook altogether. In the remaining 6 years, year 1, 2, 4, and 5, Meiser goes to what we call Meiser Sheni, which is food that even the owner can eat as long as he brings it to Yerushalayim first. Okay? Rav Kook says, sometimes I got to remember that I'm also a Kohen. With all due respect to the Kohanim, even the regular people need to remember that they have a special status too. So you separate a little bit and you keep it for yourself, you just have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay? During year 3 and 6, that is Meiser Ani goes to the poor person. Okay? So again, we have Truma Gedola to the Kohen, Meiser Rishon to the Levi, and step 3 is Meiser Sheni / Meiser Ani, depending on the year. The order in which these are given is very important. So much so, this is a mitzvah that I think few people are aware of, because we're not so involved in the agricultural mitzvahs. There's an Isser called Baal Ta'acher. Okay? Baal Ta'acher means do not delay. Usually, if you hear people talking about Baal Ta'acher, that means if you commit to bringing a korban, lo sa'acher l'shalmo. Lo sa'acher l'shalmo, the Torah says, do not delay, bring it. You have a certain amount of time during which within that window, you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer the korban. There's another pasuk which also says, lo sa'acher, which means in our case, it means don't go out of order in giving the requisite tithes. So you can't separate the Meiser before you separate the Truma or the Bikurim or anything else that takes you out of order. That is a negative commandment, a lo sase in the Torah. Okay? With all that, now we're giving the Gemara. The Gemara says there is something else we never heard of before called Demai. Demai is, in short, questionable status produce, because when the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, after the Purim story, after the exile in Babel, the leadership saw that the people were not so frum all the time about separating what they needed to separate. Okay? They would always separate Truma Gedola. Why? Because Truma Gedola was the highest stakes. As I said before, only a Kohen is allowed to eat it. If you don't give it to the Kohen and you eat it yourself, then you're a Chayiv Misa. Okay? So no one, even the people who are not so frum, wanted to play around with the death penalty. But I might not be so frum about separating my Sersheni because, hey, I can eat that anyway. I just got to bring it to Yerushalayim, so why bother? Okay? So they saw that people were not being so rigorous when it comes to all these matanos, so Chazal were gozer. They were gozer, something called demai. Demai means questionable produce. If you buy food from an Amaretz, Amaretz for these purposes means someone who was not consistently adherent to the rules of Truman Meiser, so the halachas, you couldn't eat it unless you separated it again. Okay? Unless you separated it again. That is demai. Demai is something which, even though most of the people were following the rules, a minority were not following the rules, and you could not eat this unless you separate Truma, unless you separate Meiser Sheni, unless you separate it again from it, that which was potentially not separated. Okay? Just a side note, practically how this works nowadays, if you go to Machane Yehuda, you go to the Shuk, right? So any fruit vegetable stand will have a big poster behind the vendor with a certificate, from the Bedatz or whoever it happens to be, indicating that all the produce that this guy is selling has already had Trumas and Meiser separated from it. Okay? It gets a little more complicated when that produce comes to America, and that's why every once in a while you get a notice that the oranges from Costco or the peppers or whatever, we need to pay attention because they were exported from the country, and if they're exported from the country, it's not always clear that Trumas and Meisers were taken. Sometimes the Rabbanut gets involved. It's not so simple, so that's why we try to be careful about that. Okay, so demai is anything that you're not sure about. Last point, and then we'll actually go to the Gemara. I said that Truma, we could count on them to take because the stakes were high. Meiser Sheni, we couldn't count on them because the stakes were not so high. In the middle is Meiser Rishon. Okay? So what's the deal with Meiser Rishon? Meiser Rishon is a little bit, it's not a scam. Okay? But the mechanics of the halacha are slightly different. Because what do we say about Meiser Rishon? Anyone can eat it. Right? You give it to the Levi, but if the Levi's not around, Okay? So, or I'm sorry, if the lady invites me for lunch, I can partake of it. So let's say the lady comes to me and says, no, you skipped me. You went right to Maaser Sheni. Right? That's how we started. We said, Demai is going right to Maaser Sheni. What about Maaser Rishon? The lady says, what am I, chopped liver? I'm a lady. So you know what you say to him? Four words. Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The burden of proof is on you. True, it's questionable whether or not Maaser Rishon has already been taken from this pile of grapes. But you proved to me that it wasn't taken. We said it was questionable, but in the interim, until we can determine that it was definitely not taken, the burden of proof is on you. So I'm going to keep eating it until you can prove otherwise. Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. Okay? If you can prove it, great. So then I'll have to pay it to him. But that's the status of Demai. As far as Maaser Rishon, the lady has to prove it. Okay? Are we all good? So now, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph on the bottom. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. The words Achal Demai are in between the two dots. 15 lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay? Here we go. We said in the Mishnah that if you have a bunch of people around the table eating demai, they can make a zimun. Ask the Gemara, halo chazile. What do you mean? Halo chazile is not fit for consumption. It's prohibited substances. It's usher to eat. And the rule generally is if it's usher to eat, you can't make a zimun on that food. Answers the Gemara. Kevandi boy mafkir luhu l'nechase v'habayani. If the person would decide to be mafkir, to make all of his property hefker, at that point he would be poor. Okay, and demai is permissible to a poor person. Okay, v'avi ani v'chazila, he would be a poor person, and it would be permissible for him to partake of demai, as the Mishnah says. Disnan machilim esaniyim demai ve'esachsaniyim demai. Even though Chazal prohibited you from eating demai until you separate from his maisers, two exceptions: I can feed it to a poor person, or I can feed it to achsanya. Okay, let's break those down. Poor person, we know what poor person means. No, we don't. Poor person generally would refer to someone who is lacking in funds. It can even refer to someone who is otherwise wealthy, but he's away from home. The Gemara in a few places discusses this case. Before the days of ATMs and credit cards, right, if you went on a long trip, so you could only carry a certain amount of cash with you, and at some point it would be depleted, and until you got back home to take more money, so you had a status of an ani, okay? And therefore, you could take certain privileges that are normally reserved for poor people and partake, okay? So Chazal made a gzera in order to facilitate either giving tzedakah for the rich people or making it more prevalent for the poor people to take tzedakah. So they said, demai can be eaten by a poor person. So since I could be mafkir my nechasim, I could make all my property ownerless, and I could effectively become a poor person myself, I could, therefore, even we who are around the table, we can bench on demai. Okay, so you tell me, some kind of joke? I'm not actually poor. It was a special dispensation. Doesn't it remain prohibited substances? So the answer is, you're right. When the Gemara says, well, if he would make his property hefker, he would be able to eat it, it doesn't mean that there's like some hocus pocus, right? And because no one in the right mind would make all their property ownerless, but instead, it's what we spoke about this last week. Is it a simen or a siba? Is it because you must actually declare your property ownerless to make it permissible, and therefore, you know, we have to rely on the odds of this guy actually making his property ownerless? No, it's a simen. It's symbolic of the fact that this guy, when you're eating demai, right? When you're eating demai, because it could be given to a poor person, because it could be given to an achsanya, which I didn't define yet, the fact that it is not absolutely prohibited, it's just that it is limited in scope into who can partake of it, that is the greatest proof that it's not actually treif. The fact that there are ways out, the fact that there are exceptions, is demonstrative of the fact that it is not actually contraband. So if it's mamish aser, you're right, you couldn't make a zimun on it. Maybe you wouldn't even be able to make a bracha on it. The Rambam holds you can't make a bracha on anything treif. Okay? Couldn't make a bracha on this either. The fact that there's exceptions to the rule in demai shows you that it's not essentially aser. Okay? What's achsanya? What's this other exception of being able to feed achsanya? Usually translate achsanya as guests. Okay? And achsanya is another term for an inn or guest house. But the Mefarshim say that it could refer to quartering troops, okay? In the days before the, Second Amendment or something? Yeah, before the Second Amendment, Third Amendment, okay? Before the Bill of Rights, it was prevalent for the monarch, if he had troops and they were going from place to place, that he would demand that as they went through a particular neighborhood, the people in town would have to put up these soldiers, feed them, and so forth. So one exception of demai, permissibility, was that you could feed it to the troops, okay? Question Tosas deals with, was it Jewish troops, was it non-Jewish troops? We'll leave that for another time. But it's talking about, again, an unusual situation where we have to provide for people in order to make sure that they have something to eat, okay? So because we have these two exceptions, it shows you that demai is not actually usur. It's just prohibited for me to eat, okay? That's a funny dichotomy. It's not usur, it's not treif, prohibited for me to eat. The Rav compared this to the following question. Okay, think about it. Coming up, Pesach is only 30 days away. 33. But for rabbis think in terms of the Shabbos HaGadol drasha, which this year is about 3 days before Pesach. Okay? So, we know that at noontime, on Erev Pesach, the Torah says you can no longer consume any chametz. Okay? So let's assume that's 12 p.m. Torah says 12 p.m., you can't eat chametz anymore. Okay? An hour before that, the Chacham said you can't. You can't get any benefit from chametz anymore, right? An hour before that, they said, you can't eat it, but you can feed it to your animals, you can handle chametz, right? So that's why we have Zmanim on Erev Pesach, let's say 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, okay? So at 10:30, I can't eat it anymore. At 11:30, I can't even feed it to my pets. And at 12:30, I have to burn it, okay? It should be burned by then. Fine. So it is absolutely treif at the last point in time, okay? At the earliest point in time, when I can't eat it, but I can feed it to others, right, to my pets, you can't say it's treif, right? Question is, what about the twilight zone? When it's only midrabanan prohibited to use for my own benefit. So the Rav posed the question, at that stage, is it treif or is it just usher to eat, right? In the same way that we explained demai in that same light, it's not treif, it's usher to eat. So it's not essentially prohibited if some people got around, you know, sat around and they were eating there, they couldn't give up that last bowl of Cheerios, okay? And the last bagel. So, but at that twilight zone on Erev Pesach, would they be able to make a Ziman after eating that food? Okay, that's something to think about. Again, not for tonight. Okay, let's keep going to the Gemara. One important Rashi, Rashi says, on the sugi we just read, Halo Chazile, I'll just tell you outside. The Gemara's question was, how can you have a Zimun on Demai? It's usher to eat. So Rashi says, what's the problem of something that's usher to eat? It's a mitzvah habab avera. If you would make a Zimun, it would be a mitzvah habab avera. How do we know that it's a mitzvah habab avera? So he cites a Gemara in Bava Kamma that talks about the fact that if you stole wheat and you made it into bread and you separated challah and you made a bracha on the separation of challah, that would be a violation of a pasuk in Tehillim, Botzea, Beirach, Niyet Hashem. If you blessed on stolen goods, that is a provocation of Hashem. Okay, it's almost like an insult, right? You try to use the mitzvah for an avera, okay, or use an avera for a mitzvah, and invoking Hashem's name on that avera is a slap in the face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is bothered by, and we say, no, demai is not in that category of avera. Okay, where are we? We're at the end of that initial sugya. The Gemara quotes Amar Rav Huna Tana Beishamay Omrim Ein Machin Lasaniyim Vesachsani Demai. There's a Mishnah. We read the first half because that's the most important part for us. The Tana Kama holds you may give demai to a poor person. Beishamay happens to disagree, and they say that you cannot feed demai to a poor person. But we obviously passing like Beis Hillel, as we generally do, and therefore it is right for Zimun at the conclusion of the meal. Okay? So we just explained the first clause in that part of the Mishnah, that demai is fine to make a bracha and a Zimun, to make a Zimun on. Okay, next Gemara. The Gemara says, Maiserishon shenet l'tumaso. The next clause in the Mishnah said, Maiserishon, if you have the 10% that you give to the Levi. And after giving 10% to the Levi, what did the Levi do? He took his additional 10% and gave it to the Kohen. Okay? So, comes along the mission and says, you can make a Zeman on that. The Gemara says, why in the world would you need to tell me that? That is the most kosher, holy, well, not holy, but it's the most kosher certified food you can imagine. Everything that was done to it. When I say kosher, that brings to mind the Chofetz Chaim, when he would participate in a Pidgin HaBen. The Chofetz Chaim was a Kohen himself. So whenever he'd get money from the Pidgin HaBen, he would say, oh, kosher gelt. The only thing that he could be 1,000% sure was, without question, you know, in the rules of monetary law, above any suspicion, was the money that the Torah directly awards him because of the fact that he was a Kohen. He said, anything else, you do business, you know, they say Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was looking for Parnassus. So he once borrowed a lot of money, and he returned it to the lender the next day. They said, what happened? You know, did you already strike it rich? You can pay me back? He said, no. One day in business, I realized how many ways in which I could violate the halachas of doing business, overcharging, interest, you know, and paying my workers on time. I said, forget about it. I'm going back to the base measures. It's a good thing. Yisrael Salanter didn't end up a businessman. Okay, so the Gemara is bothered by the question, why do you need to tell me that that food is acceptable to bench on? Pshita, it's obvious that's 100% kosher food. Lo tzricha ella shekdima b'shibolim v'hifrish mimena trumas meiser v'lo hifrish mimena truma gedola. Okay, brand new halacha. A little bit of the technical sugya in the laws of Zeroyim and agricultural halacha. The next line is as follows. The Gemara says that there was a chiddush that has to be taught over here. There was a chiddush. You're right. If it was everyone played by the rules and the meiser rishon was given to the Levi and he took of his trumas meiser to the Kohen, that would not be necessary to tell me. But you know what's going on over here? We skip the Kohen. Okay? We said that's a violation of the pasuk of, you know, you're not allowed to go out of order. But let's say a very entrepreneurial or very assertive Levi, okay, finds me out in the fields. Okay, and he sees me harvesting my stalks, and he says, wow, fancy meeting you here. I happen to be a lady. Please give me my meiser. And I give it to him. Okay, again, not the right thing to do, but there's a special halacha, as we're going to see in a moment, that if, in the event, meiser Rishon skipped the Kohen, and the lady goes ahead and gives his portion to the Kohen, that produce is exempt from Truma Gedola. Okay, again, don't try this at home. But if you did, if Maaser Rishon was given before Truma Gedola, the Kohen just loses out. Kohen loses out. Okay? So let's read that again inside. The Gemara says, Lo tzricha ela shehegdimu b'shibolim. What does it mean? Hegdimo, like kodem. He jumped the gun. He proceeded and gave the Levi his gift, b'shibolim, while it was still in stalk form. Okay? Unprocessed wheat, still just being harvested in the field. The hifrish mimena truma meiser, and then the Levi goes ahead and gives the portion to the Kohen. Below hifrish mimena truma gedola, and he never gave the portion to the Kohen. Ukad Rabbi Abo, in line with Rabbi Abo, that is acceptable. And Kamash Mulan, the Mishnah is telling you that even though it wasn't done 100% according to what halacha would require, it's still considered kosher, and you can make a zeman on it. What did Rabbi Abo say? Damar Rabbi Abo, Amar Reish Lakish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines for the bottom. This halacha is derived from a pasuk. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Reish Lakish, Maiser Rishon Chekdimu B'Shibolim Pater Mitruma Gedola. If I took Maiser Rishon from those stalks, okay, while still in the form of stalks, Pater Mitruma Gedola. It is exempt from the gift that has to be given to the Kohen first. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Barimosem Mimenu Trumas Hashem. Meiser mina meiser. The Levi is supposed to separate the truma for Hashem, meiser mina meiser. 1/10 from the tenth. Those are the instructions of trumas meiser. The Levi takes 1/10 of his tenth. Okay, that's a pasuk. 1/10 of a tenth. What does that teach us? Meiser mina meiser, amarti lecha. I told you to take 1/10 from the tenth, velo truma gedola, u trumas meiser mina meiser. And nothing more than that. 1/10 from the tenth, not truma gedola in addition to your 1/10 from the tenth. So in other words, if you skip that initial stage of giving Truma Gedola to the Kohen, you never turn back. The Levi is still only obligated to give the 10% and no more. Okay? One more step in the Gemara. The Gemara clarifies. The Gemara clarifies and says, Amar le Rav Papa Abaye. Rav Papa asked Abaye, Ihachi afilu hekdimu b'kri nami. If so, that the pasuk indicates that the Levi never gives more than a tenth of his tenth, then this should be true not only when you separate truma from the meiser from the stalks, but it should be true even if you separate meiser from a kri. A kri is a finished product. The kri is after the threshing process, okay? Threshing is one of the first few, maybe the fourth of the melachos on Shabbos. Disha. Disha is after you bring in all the stalks from the field. You have to smash the shell of the wheat stalks to extract the kernels that will then be ground into flour to bake bread. Okay? So the process of smashing the wheat kernels, I'm sorry, wheat shell is called threshing, okay? Disha. Once you've already extracted the shell, the kernels from the shells, and you pile them up and you make a nice stack, that is what we call the kri. That is the finished pile of produce. Once that point comes, it's too late. So Rav Papa says, why should this only be true if you skip the kohen when it is in stalk form? Why shouldn't it be true even when it's done being processed? So Alecha Markra, last three words, turning the page. Amalei Alecha Markra, Abai says, that's exactly what the pasuk indicates. The pasuk indicates, Mikol Masrosechem Tarimu. Mikol Masrosechem Tarimu. You will take truma from all of your produce. Okay? That sounds like an inclusionary clause, right? Before we had an exclusionary clause where we say you only give a tenth, and now we have an inclusionary clause where it says keep giving more and more. So, Mara Isa, what did you see? He asked Abaye that this pasuk should include anything when it's already been processed, give it to the Kohen, and exclude anything that was separated from the Levi before when it was still in the stalk phase. Answers Abaye, high idgun, v'high low idgun. One is in the form of grain and one is not in the form of grain. In other words, when the Torah talks about giving truma, it says that you have to take a portion for the Kohen, midigoncha siroshcha v'yitzarecha. Digoncha, your grain. Dagon. Dagon is grain. When do we refer to it as grain? Only once it's reached the stage in the production process where it's nicely stacked and ready to to grind into flour. But when it's still in that preliminary phase, just fresh out of the field, that's not dagon. That's not yet dagon, and therefore the special leniency would apply to the food when it's given to the Levi first. Okay? Make one point, we're running out of time. Turn back for a second to Rashi. If I would have asked you where the problem in this jumping the gun lies, I tried to make it clear before, there's a problem with the hafrasha. There's a problem with the fact that you're going out of order, right? When you're separating the trumas and maisers, you're not following the regular sequence. Rashi says something else. Rashi says, the last Rashi on the page, Shekdirim b'shibolim, Levi kidem es ha-kohen v'notel maiser b'shibolim. The Levi preceded the kohen, took the maiser while it was still in its stalks, kodem shenotel kohen truma gedola, before the kohen took his portion, v'kohen ha'ilo litel truma gedola t'chila, and the kohen was supposed to give was supposed to get the truma first. Okay? So it sounds like the problem over here is not in the incorrect order of separation, but an incorrect order of the giving. Okay? That Salvation pointed out is a chiddush we have to understand in Rashi. If I did everything I was supposed to do, I separated the truma over here, I separated the mice over there, right? So if I then happen to bump into a Levi first, then why does that change the process? The chiddush is that if I separate out of order, I can skip a step. But here, Rashi seems to be describing more about the transferring point in the process, not the actual separation. Okay, just a ha'ar to think about, because that's an unconventional way of looking at it. Okay, we read two, three more lines, and then we're going to have a ma'ariv. Second line on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the next clause in the Mishnah, which is acceptable to make a zimun, is Ma'aser Sheni v'Hekdesh Niftu. If Ma'aser Sheni, right, just the background of this is, we said before that Ma'aser Sheni is separated and then you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat it on your own. Okay? it was not uncommon. The Torah describes if my farm happens to be in Haifa and it's going to be a big schlep for me to bring it all the way to Yerushalayim. So then the way to get around that is to be poda, to transfer the special status of the Maaser Sheni onto cash, bring the cash to Yerushalayim, and then use that money to buy a korban, to buy something else I'm going to eat. So once it's been redeemed, again, that produce, which has now been transferred to the money, is good to go. And likewise, if I made hekesh, if I donated some of my produce to the Beis HaMikdash, but now I redeemed it, that food is 100% kosher. Ask the Gemara again, Pshita, isn't that obvious? That food is has no problem with it. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Eskinan. What is the case that we are trying to teach in the Mishnah? Kigon. Shenosan Asakaren v'lonosan Asachomesh. There's a special halacha. If I, let's say, dedicate my produce to the Beis HaMikdash, Prophet Beis HaMikdash, when I redeem it, not only do I have to give in its value to the Beis HaMikdash, I need to add a fifth. That's a special halacha when I'm the owner. Okay? Maaser Sheni also, if I go through that transference process to the coin, when I redeem it and get it back, I need to add one fifth. So let's say the person has only given thus far the principal, the baseline value of the produce. He has not yet given a fifth. So the Gemara says, Hakamashman de'in chomesh ma'akev. That extra fifth doesn't prevent the redemption from taking effect. Ultimately, I have to give that amount also, but the redemption in the meantime is valid, and that food, kamash malan, is entirely kosher to make a bracha, to bench, to make a zimun, and so forth. So now we've explained why all the cases in the Mishnah were teaching us something we didn't know before because of those little details that make those cases different. Shkayach with Avi Marav in another minute or two. Shabbos, everyone, and Freilich and Purim. See you next week, Mir Tashem, regular time.